With that in mind, let's go to our Bible study on the nines this evening. Our focus now is the key verse in the book of Acts. We have already looked at Matthew's key verse, that is Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and that of the Great Commission. Go, baptize, make disciples, teach. We are commanded to go. We looked at Mark's key verse the second week in July. Mark 10, 45, the attitude behind that Great Commission. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Then we looked at Luke's gospel and the purpose of the Son of Man to seek and save that which was lost. And then last week we looked at John's key verse in John chapter 20. These are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Tie that all together, that's an amazing thing. Now let's add to that the key verse of the book of Acts. So we look at the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles was written by Luke as a sequel to his gospel. If you read Luke's gospel, then go to Acts as a sequel. Both books are addressed to a man named Theophilus there in verse 1 and 2. Who was Theophilus? We hit that thought back when we looked at Luke. Was he a Christian? Was he a seeker of God? Was he carefully studying the Christian faith? Hey, nothing is known of Theophilus except for the name itself. The word Theo meaning God, Philos meaning brotherly love, friend of. Theophilus means lover of God or friend of God. I personally believe that Luke is actually writing this to an actual person named Theophilus, but it can also have a practical application with his name to us who are the readers as lovers of God or friends of God. Those people who have fallen in love with the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as our Savior. Hey, when we find out how God loved us so much, where he gave us his Son to die for us and our filthy sin, we have the choice whether or not to accept or reject that love in our lives, and it affects the way we go about in everything we do in life. Hey, a proper relationship with the Lord means a proper relationship with others. Hey, are you a lover of God? Are you a friend of God? Hey, do you know the Lord? Have you accepted him as your personal Savior? So Luke is writing to you and to me who know Jesus Christ. And here's the truth. Here's the truth of the matter. We will never have a passion in our heart to make a difference in this world for the cause of Christ without first falling in love with the Lord. A proper relationship with him means a proper relationship with others. So along with writing to Theophilus, he is writing to a Gentile audience. The topic is the history of the spread of the gospel after the ascension of Jesus Christ. It links the gospels with the letters, the epistles. It shows the growth of the early church. Hey, the theme is the continuing account of Christianity that was begun in the gospels. Hey, the purpose of it was to trace the triumphant progress of the gospel from Jerusalem, where it began, to Rome, to the capital city of the empire. Chapter 1 of Acts, we're in Jerusalem. Chapter 28, we're in Rome, in the capital. And it traces the development of the church over the one generation transition from a primarily Jewish to a predominantly Gentile membership. You can divide the book of Acts into two sections with two focuses based upon four geographic locations. Chapter 1 through 12 is the first part of Acts. Actually, we are looking at this on Wednesday night in our Bible study, finishing up, Lord willing, in the next couple weeks, where the gospel goes from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the Gentiles, as Peter is the focus who unlocks the doors. Chapter 13 through chapter 28 is the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. The Apostle Paul is the central focus with his three missionary journeys and his journey to Rome as a prisoner. At the close of the Gospel of Luke, Luke had left the believers in the temple praising God after the ascension. Now he had to pick up the story and explain what happens next. So Acts is the account of how the Holy Spirit worked in and through the church. For example, I'll give you a contrast between the two books. Luke records what Jesus began both to do and to teach in his human body. Acts records what Jesus continued to do and teach through his spiritual body, the church. Hey, even today, churches can learn much about church life and how to do ministry and even how to grow a church from the book of Acts. And this even includes business meetings and the correct way to conduct them There's a good outline there, as the early church had a couple business meetings. My personal theme for this book, as I'm teaching it on Wednesday nights, is the power and passion of ministry. You see, my passion and my fear is empty churches, empty ministries. See, I love to see people changed and get fired up for the Lord. I'm scared that if we're not careful, we as believers will grow complacent, we'll go through the motions, we'll endure life with uncertainty. My goal for ministry, since I've been in the ministry, is that we ignite a passion in our hearts so that we can do all we can for Christ and His power, not ours. Remember, power and passion. I truly believe that one problem many local churches today is that we start to depend on our own power and our own strength. We try to manipulate and manufacture the moving of God. Be careful not to manipulate, to try to play on emotions. Now, understand there's nothing wrong with passion and excitement in different styles of worship. But note at times we may be tempted to hype things up to give the appearance that God is moving when He really isn't. Be careful about the self-promotion and the show of man rather than the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God will point to Jesus Christ, not man. We must determine to serve the Lord with genuine passion and genuine power. Hey, where does that power come from? The Holy Spirit. As we pray and seek Him and desire Him and ask Him for power. Where does the passion come from? A cultivated, growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Hey, the longer we rest in Him and spend time with Him, the more our passion for Him grows. Hey, the doctrines of Scripture meditated upon, expounded. Hey, that refreshes my soul. So our focus this evening is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That's the key verse that unlocks the book of Acts. Acts 1:8, and the promise of the Holy Spirit and power. Hey, let's read this together. But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, to the uttermost part of the earth. This is the promise of Holy Spirit and power. It's also the outline of the book. It outlines where the gospel would spread through the power of the Holy Spirit. Power and passion to be witnesses. So power and passion, number one in this chapter, in this verse. Power and passion, number one, for the Great Commission. The Great Commission goes back to that key verse in Matthew 28:18-20. Go make disciples, baptize, teach all authorities given to Him. The disciples' new ministry, as was taught by Jesus those 40 days, as Acts chapter 1 opens up, is to preach the gospel, the good news that Jesus came, He died, He buried, He rose again, and He ascended, and He reigns. That's the good news. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach good tidings. Good news. Israel was to go into a broken world and live as God is their king, to show the world what it looks like when God is in charge. Thus, there is a king where God is in charge. Any situation, place, or person where God's will is being done, God is being the king. In like manner, Jesus was establishing His church. He said in Matthew chapter 28, all authority and power is given to me, basically saying, I'm the king. Now, therefore, go to make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey. Why must we obey? Does it save you? No. It's by grace. Obey because He wants to be king of our lives. Person by person, moment by moment, extend the kingdom. So many times we connect the Great Commission to the Ascension, but we understand something. The Great Commission predates the Ascension in Galilee. According to the text, and comparing the gospel accounts, Jesus makes these guys journey 130 miles for a commission that takes 1 minute. And they walked back 130 miles to Jerusalem. Jesus took them back to where He had trained them, to Galilee, to be disciples. You do it the way I did it. Thus, the Great Commission is a broadening of what Israel received at Mount Sinai. Hey, obey me. Put me on display. Make my name known. They would have to go in the world instead of being of this land. Now, they ask a question in verse 6. Lord, are you going to at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus says in verse 7, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. Basically, no calendar. You be my witnesses. Now get after it. So power and passion for the Great Commission. Power and passion number two, to be witnesses. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. John the Baptist had announced a future baptism of the Holy Spirit in every gospel. Now this prophecy will be fulfilled. Jesus also promised the coming of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14 through 16. The coming of the Holy Spirit would be a giving of power for the disciples so they would be able to serve the Lord and accomplish his will. Holy Spirit's ministry changed from Old Testament to New Testament. He lives in the heart. Acts 1:8 is the key verse of this book. The power comes from Holy Spirit, not man, regardless of our effort. I can work myself to death. If I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm nothing. One of his heavenly ministries is to enable his people to do his will using their spiritual gifts. By his Holy Spirit, the Lord wants to work in us, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, with us, Mark 16:20, and for us, Romans 8:28. By his Holy Spirit, the Lord wants to work in us, with us, and for us. The word witness is used 29 times in the book of Acts as either a verb or a noun. And that's the key word. The key word in the book is witness. What is a witness? A witness is somebody who tells what he has seen or heard. When you're on the witness stand, the judge doesn't care about your ideas or your opinions. The judge only is interested in what you know. The English word martyr comes from the Greek word witness. Many of God's witnesses have sealed their witness by laying down their lives for the truth of the gospel. That's commendable. We're to be witnesses, not prosecuting attorneys. Remember that. Number three, power and passion for the Great Commission. Power and passion to be witnesses. Number three, power and passion to geographically spread the gospel message. In Acts 1:8, we see the geographic spread of the gospel. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth, to the ends of the earth. Persecution through the book of Acts would always scatter them like seed, and the church would grow. Each transition was marked by persecution. Jerusalem, they're in Acts chapter 2, verse 7, they're in Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8 through 12, they're in the regions of Judea and Samaria. Acts chapter 13 through 28, Paul takes the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. Every one of those is initiated by a persecution. Practically speaking, where is your Jerusalem? For us at Spring Hill Baptist Church, it's our surrounding neighborhood, the Spring Hill community in South Charleston. Where is your Judea and Samaria? For us here at Spring Hill, it's our state, West Virginia, and our country, the United States. And then we have the ends of the earth. Areas around our borders. Hey, that's our personal missions philosophy and strategy here at our personal local church. Because without a dependence on the Holy Spirit working in the lives of people and believers and understanding how he works, we will never have a passion in our hearts to make a difference for this world. Hey, the passion comes from power, cultivating a relationship with him. Do you have that power? Do you have that passion? So what we see and know as the church, it began with 120 people there in Acts chapter 2. Fishermen, revenue reps, former streetwalkers, converted revolutionaries, and this tiny sect who had no clout with Caesar, who had no friends at the temple, they had no materials, they had no resources, they had no money, but they had two vital things. They had passion, a passion in their hearts to make a difference, and they had power, power endued by the Holy Spirit of God. These 120 people took these two things and absolutely turned the world upside down within a matter of years, expanding the gospel into the heart of the Roman Empire there in Rome. These people changed the world. We are recipients of their witness today as believers. They lived their lives with power and with passion instead of uncertainty and going through the motions. This is our example because it models the example of Christ. Do you have power? And do you have passion when you perform your purpose and of the ministry. That's the takeaway. Do you have power and do you have passion when you perform the purpose of the ministry? Are we being witnesses? Are we being witnesses obeying the Great Commission? Matthew's key verse. Are we being witnesses with the right attitude of service? Mark 10:45, Mark key verse. Are we being witnesses remembering the purpose of the Son of Man to seek and save that which is lost? Luke's key verse. And are we being witnesses believing the Word of God that Jesus is the Son of God and knowing who He is and building a relationship with Him? Those are my thoughts this evening as it concerns the key verse of Acts. Hey, thank you so much for watching, tuning in. Lord willing, I hope you have a good rest of the week. And Lord willing, we'll see you this Lord's Day, 9:45 service, 11 o'clock Sunday school.